You are listening to a sermon series from Open Door Fellowship Church.
I accidentally left my small ESV at school, so I brought my serious Bible. It's even waterproof, just in case of a flood. Weeping can handle it. Encountering Jesus, oh, what a great series. Man, what a great idea. Thank you, leadership, for listening to God on this one. I mean, on all of them. Whoops. I mean, you always listen. Anyways, so let's get to it. So because so many voices, you get to hear so many voices up here, we want to keep in front of you what we're hoping that you learn, and keep in front of you what to engage with and how to engage, not just in the morning, but as the week goes on. So this is on the front of your bulletin, and I'm going to read it as our reminder of what our hope is. Place yourself in the scene amongst the characters. Ask yourself what the people in this scene need. How does Jesus choose to meet their needs by his love? What does this scene tell you about what you need? What attribute of Jesus is drawing you to trust him more, and what attribute of Jesus is drawing you to worship, encountering Jesus? Today, we will be lingering in a portion of John 11, but before we get to this morning's passage, I have some opening remarks. First, I would like to tell us something that we already know. Preachers are really good at that. But it's a great reminder. We hurry. I watch us humans. We are in a hurry. We are in a hurry to get there, to get through it, to get to the good part, just to get it. We're in a hurry. And then something happens to us because we're in a hurry. When we do get there, when we get to the good part, when we get through it, when we get it, we find we have become hurried, and we can't stay and absorb and enter in. We are in a hurry. And because we are in a hurry, there's a lot we miss. And we have a need to deliberately practice slowness. This same hurry that we encounter and engage in life follows us right into Scripture, especially when we get to passages that are really familiar. We're in a hurry to get to the point, to get to the application, to get to the meaning, to get to the good part. We're in a hurry. This is the heart of the series, that we would slow down, that we would meander with Jesus, that we would be pulled in, attending, astounded, gasping and giggling and weeping and worshiping. This morning, I want to take us into a story that I hurried through dozens of times, if not 100 times. And then one day, the Spirit slowed me down and pulled me into this moment of misery and hope and worship. Because, like Caleb last week, I too found myself in the Gospel of John. And so, like Caleb, I too want to remind us what John himself said about why he wrote his book, why he told these stories. The other gospels had been written. They'd been around. They'd been traveling among the church and being read, and they were known and memorized. And John says, there's some more stuff. There's some more stuff so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So Mike Quinn called me up early this week and said, so I hear you're preaching on the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. I was like, well, kind of, not really. And then I hear a little bit of like, oh, because I think Mike had put some prayer and direction already in this point, which I'm not saying it's not a great story. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, this is a great story. And but the problem is because it's so well known, we hurry and we miss stuff. This story is so well known that in our culture, people who aren't even familiar with the Bible know Lazarus. Did you know there is such a thing as a Lazarus comeback? There is a Lazarus syndrome. There is a Lazarus sign. There's a movie called The Lazarus Effect. And in the science of paleontology, there is such a thing as a Lazarus taxon. That's for Stuart Black. John the Beloved is a masterful storyteller, and in this short piece of his work in chapter 11, he gives us a lot of encounters with Jesus. And we could take weeks to unfold all of these encounters and see how he intimately connected with different people and different groups, because we see Jesus with the disciples and Jesus is revealing, manifesting his godness. We see Jesus with Mary, Jesus weeping. Is there a better picture of our God? We see Jesus with Lazarus, Jesus the unimaginable. We see Jesus and the Pharisees, and he is intolerable. But we're not in a hurry this morning. So we don't have time, and we will have these others wait. Have them wait for another time, because today we're going to slow down and we all material that is being read out of the scriptures is copyrighted by the Lockman Foundation. Thank you for the reminder. You don't want to plagiarize the Bible. Okay. We're just going to slow it down a minute. So, we are going to slow down. And this morning, we are going to notice Martha, just Martha. We're going to attend to her misery and her brokenness and her faith and her hope. We will slow down and attend to what I think is perhaps one of the most profound and shocking encounters with Jesus that any of the gospel writers chose to write about. Let's pray. God, you are good. We need you. We need you because we don't even see how much we need you. God, I pray that you would unfold your word and give light and life this morning. Let us encounter you. In Jesus' name. Martha, 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 you are worried and distracted by so many things, but only one thing is needed. This is what she's known for. This is the story Luke tells in his gospel. of Martha and her sister Mary and their dinner with the Savior. Mary has the audacity to take the position of a disciple at the feet of Jesus while Martha's doing all the work. And we see Martha complaining, jealous, striving, failing. And she's rebuked lovingly by her God. But we do her a great disservice if we leave her there and we only know her from that scene from Luke. Because today we will see a Martha who has learned. She has grown. She has absorbed truth. And what is even more amazing is we will see a Martha in front of our very eyes grow and learn and absorb truth. This time, not because of sibling rivalry and jealousy, but because of the miserable depths of betrayal and suffering. Martha. Here's our context. So we know from Luke that Martha opened her home and welcomed Jesus in. That's what Luke says. Her home. The one who had no place to lay his head found rest in her home. We're only going to read a small piece of John 11. So John tells us, right before we pick it up, he wants us to know a couple of things. One is he wants us to know now Martha's brother is sick and dying. Lord, the one you love is sick. She sends a plea. Her and her sister send a plea because they know who he is. They know what he's done. He's calmed the storms. He's made water into wine. He has fed the thousands, and he has healed. He can heal. They know this, and they send their cry out to Jesus. And John also wants us to understand their relationship, the relationship Jesus has with them. He lays it out there for us, so there's no guesswork. He says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That's how John puts it. Jesus loved Martha, her sister and Lazarus. And then what John also wants us to know is Jesus doesn't come. He stays away on purpose. On purpose. He never sends a message to tell Mary why. He tells his disciples, I'm about to do something great. But he does not send the message off to Martha. He didn't answer her cry for help. So now for our passage in John. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. I want for us to pay attention to this interaction with Jesus, between Martha and Jesus as movements. So we have our first movement. Just a minute. We have our first movement. And this, I would say, is Martha betrayed. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. We can hear the pain of her accusation. She feels betrayed by Jesus. Where were you? Why didn't you come? He died. You just let him die. The one you love. The one you love. Jesus, if you had just. I think this is why we hurry, right? We hear our own words in Martha's mouth. We hear the pain of human suffering in Martha's words. Even the ones who claim they do not believe there is a God, pain and suffering and disappointment will wring these very words out of them. God, if you would just, if you had just, if you had just. When have you said these words? I've said these words. Can you slow yourself enough to hear yourself? Pain and loss, disappointment, irritation. And oh, I love Jesus. He does not rebuke her. He does not correct her. He allows her to yell her pain at him. This is our God. This is our God. He can handle it. He can handle it. And he doesn't explain himself. This too is our God. He has room enough. He has room enough for your pain, for your accusations, for your disappointment. Martha's betrayed, and she moves towards Jesus. But she continues. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Martha's believing. Even in the midst of her confusion, somehow she's held on to her belief that he can still do something. I mean, after all, he's turned water into wine and calmed the seas and fed the thousands, and he has healed. And though not recorded by John, there were two instances where he raised the dead. She believes, and she reminds herself. Whatever her grief and confusion has told her, she does believe. It's still a mystery. Who is this? Who is this man? I don't even know, but he can still do something. It's interesting, which is probably not the best adjective. It's beautiful. It's profound. It's powerful. It's encouraging to see what happens when we give ourselves permission to voice our confusion and sense of betrayal to God. It's almost as if our belief is lost to us until we can honestly confront God with our feelings. This is actually the pattern of all of Scripture. A third of the Psalms are laments, voicing confusion and loss and suffering. And in the lament, there's a holding to the trust and hope. The entire book of Lamentations is a description of loss and grief and suffering and confusion. And even in this, there are statements of belief and trust. Jesus from the cross cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet he continues on until he says, it is finished. I have done what you asked me to do. It is done. Somewhere, I am confident. I am confident that, like Martha, in your honest grappling with God, you will find that somewhere you have a hold of your belief, or that belief has a hold of you. Now, it often doesn't happen in your next breath, like with Martha. And in fact, it rarely happens in your next breath, like with Martha in this scene. It may take some time to sink down below the storm of grief into the stillness where you will find your believing. It's okay. Let it take time. Cry it out. Pound his chest. Why? If you had been here. Let it take time because he can handle it. He has a hold of you. Martha moves toward Jesus in her believing. So Jesus responds to Martha, your brother will rise again. So Martha says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. What? 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 Like, what just happened? Like, what in this story? What is Martha doing? But like, suddenly she's theologizing in the midst of this intense emotional encounter with Jesus. It's almost as if she is in a hurry too. She thinks she knows what he means. Your brother will rise again. She's already stated her belief in his ability to do something, and now she's missing it. Your brother will rise again. It's fragile. She can't take him disappointing her again. It is easier to step away and find myself in carefully crafted, articulated theology. Because what is he saying? He can't possibly mean. Which is a little perplexing to me, because when she says, even now I know God will do anything you ask, what did she mean? Like, I just think I would have to think she must have meant you can raise him from the dead, because what else? Like, that you will now bring the practice of mourning to a new level of it. She had to have meant you can raise him from the dead. She had to have meant that. And he says, your brother will rise again, and she can't take it. And she has to take a step away. She has to take a step away. How many of us find ourselves there? Our hearts are sore. Our hearts are sore. We need to find a safe distance to interact with Jesus from. We stop asking because we're afraid. We're afraid of what he might be saying, what he might be promising, and that there really might be healing. I can't. That there really might be forgiveness, that there might be life. I can't. You can't possibly mean. And how does Jesus respond to Martha's safe, careful theologizing. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. I am. Jesus now moves toward Martha. He moves toward her and shatters her careful box that she has crafted. He claims to be something completely unimaginable, beyond human imagining and thinking and crafting. She could not have thought of this. He moves toward her. And now we see Martha with Jesus. Jesus. I think we missed one. Will you go back? Sorry. Just nothing would be good because I'm missing a slide. So Martha says, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who is coming into the world. Jesus, I am. And Martha moves towards him. You are. This is what makes me catch my breath. This is what we have missed when we have hurried to Lazarus's tomb. We've missed Martha, vulnerable and broken, betrayed, and believing and theologizing and moving towards Jesus. Encountering Jesus. This is Martha. Martha, Martha. This is Martha with the light of life dawning inside of her, moving toward Jesus and trusting in who he is more than what he can and cannot do. It's tempting at this point to go, oh, yeah, but Lazarus gets raised from the dead. The one I love is still dead. The relationships are still broken. My body is still in pain. And that's why we don't hurry. Because when Martha declares her words, you are the Christ, the Son of God, coming into the world, Lazarus is still dead. She still has not grasped what is about to happen. Because when they get to the tomb and they open it up, she's like, it's gonna stink. Like she has, even though he's laid it out for her, she still hasn't got it. And she still moves towards Jesus. You are. I believe you are the Christ. Jesus is not only the one who does stuff. He does stuff. He does great stuff. He frees. He saves. He forgives. He gives life. He works in us and through us and for us. Jesus does great stuff. I mean, what else was the manger and the cross and the empty tomb but God doing God stuff? And he is. He is. I think because he knows what happens to us. He knows what happens to us when he doesn't do what we think he should do. When he doesn't do anything. when people die and pain stays and I wake up one more morning suffering. When you wake up one more morning suffering, when you go to bed one more night after having suffered, he knows. Lord, if you would just, but I know you can do something, but you couldn't possibly mean what I think you might mean. He himself moves towards us. He moves towards you. See, he tore himself open so he could pull us up inside because he wants to be with us. He is. He is. He moves towards us in the middle of it. And he says, oh, my little one, if you knew what I know, what I'm going to do, I really am going to wipe every tear from your eye. There really will be no more sickness or sorrow or sadness or death. I really am going to do more stuff. But for now, today, when that moment has not yet come, I am here. I am. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God. Martha, Martha, thank you. Thank you for your courage and your grief. Thank you for engaging with Jesus from the depths of your misery and pain and confusion. Thank you for showing us what it looks like when Jesus is inviting us to trust in who he is more than what he does and doesn't do. Jesus, thank you for encountering us, moving towards us. Thank you for your outrageous, unimaginable, shattering claims of being I am. We need you. We cannot move towards you. We need you to help us, to show us, to encounter us, to pull us inside your story so we can be pulled inside our story. Thank you, Lord. Amen.